brought to you by Prescient Investment Management. Informed by science, guided by insight. Prescient Investment Management is an authorized FSP.
Welcome to a very special episode of Honest Money. We've got one of my all-time favorite guests, repeat guests now, back on the show, Finance Ghost. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Warren. It's good to be here, even though we're both trying very hard not to laugh at what just happened 1 second before we pressed the record button. Hopefully my cat will forgive me after this.
I just have to give some context there to Finance Ghost's comment. We're busy setting up the environment in his where he's recording, and he's having a bad morning, and he's sick and having a tough patch, and he then stands on the cat, and unfortunately the cat's fine now, but wasn't happy with
Finance Ghost. We assume the cat's fine. The cat is now in a different postal code. I've tried to look for him twice. I'm sure he will make me pay for it later. I mean, it was actually just such a comedy of errors. I realized it was dark because I hadn't put the lights on yet because I assume there's no electricity. So I'm blaming Eskom on this one. Took a big step backwards to quickly turn the lights on before we started. And there was sweet Bentley sitting behind me, lovingly purring, and I stood in his tail. So it's almost a little bit sad that we don't have the soundbite from it because it was quite spectacular. I'm certain he's fine, probably hiding in a cupboard, and I'll go make it up to him just now. Anyway, the show must go on.
So let's hit it. The reason that I wanted you to come on the show was we've kind of been through a patch of stocks being hyped on social media all around the world. I think it's a mistake to think that this is a South African issue. I think it's a global issue. And you know, just going through the whole of COVID, where social media really drove up prices of shares, you know, I think, you know, kind of ridiculously. And then, you know, most of those shares, if not all, you probably will know better than me, but I'm pretty sure all of those shares are back at their pre-hype levels or possibly below. And then we had an ETF provider, but actually an asset manager by the name of Cathy Wood, using her serious media profile to launch an ETF. I think it's called the ARK Innovation Fund, if I remember correctly. And again, just absolute, you know, massive hype, you know, using a brand, a very strong media and social media presence and running up a price of investment that is now, you know, deep underwater. I'm not convinced that, you know, that investors who bought at the peak will recover those losses in the next multiples of years, forget about months. And South Africa is the same. We've got you know, shares that are much loved on, you know, by retail investors, you know, and those shares get hyped both by the companies themselves. I don't think they're as guilty of it, but definitely by the companies. And then social media influencers who push these prices up, and then those prices fall over. And I think it's costing people a lot of money.
It is. I agree with absolutely all of that. And of course, we had the influencers at the same time that macroeconomic conditions were wonderful for equities. Not by accident. I think one causes the other. I think what happens is the prices go mad. Interest rates were at these insane lows. And then, of course, everyone is a stock picking genius, right? Because everything's going up. So that rising tide lifts all boats and a whole bunch of influencers come out of the woodwork and everyone is an expert. I mean, I think one of the images that will stay with me forever was, you know, shall we say, an adult industry performer holding a Benjamin Graham book as a picture on Twitter. And it was obviously done very tongue-in-cheek. But I remember that going around, you know, the intelligent investor being held by, you know, effectively this OnlyFans star. And that was just peak COVID, macroeconomic craziness, stimulus, everything, all of it in one picture. It was fantastic.
And I think, I mean, you're talking about influencers, and I think maybe it's, you know, it's, I mean, people could accuse me of bringing you on the show and they're going to say, but, you know, but Finance Ghost is an influencer. And so maybe just for me to say the reason why Finance Ghost is on the show and not a bunch of other people with much bigger followings, and that's an important point, Twitter followings. The reason why I'll bring Finance Ghost onto Honest Money is he starts life understanding numbers, understanding spreadsheets, doing years and years of research into how businesses work, what are the differences between good businesses and bad businesses, and then starts to publish that information for people to consume. And that causes him to get a following. And to me, I think people that start with that, with a deep understanding and an area of expertise built on proper research, I want those people to get a following. I want those people to be listened to and followed. And so I'm going to stop there because I haven't said it. You know, if you're interested in shares and you want to get proper in-depth research, Finance Ghost's also got a podcast, Magic Markets. And I think it's really worth subscribing to. I think it's something that if you want to get quality information, and he's not just there to hype something up. Sometimes he's shooting the companies down that are behaving badly or performing badly.
More often than not, I think, Warren. Sometimes I feel like I must irritate people, but investing is about saying no, right? Yeah. And you know this. People don't understand this. Investing is about saying no, unless interest rates are at nothing, in which case you can just say yes to everything. You know, then you can throw darts and you can go bananas and you'll make money. But otherwise, investing is about saying no, not about saying yes.
And I think there... The thing that bothers me and the thing that I want to get off my chest, I'm on my soapbox today, Finance Ghost, is people that focus on being controversial, people that focus on building a Twitter profile through, you know, like whatever it is, whatever the fashions and the trends are, they're there and they're loud and they're, you know, in your face and they're, you know, purposely controversial. They're building Twitter following for their own agenda. And I think it's an important point. You know, I mean, I'm still old school, so I would say the same about the people that are writing articles, you know, saying disinvest from South Africa and cash in your retirement funds. And you know, those dinosaurs are still doing that. But in the modern kind of social media world, you know, it's happening on TikTok. It's happening on many multiples of social media platforms. People are being controversial to get a following, to then do something for themselves. They launch a company, they launch a product, they're selling a smart, whatever it is, product or flipping, what is it, power, energy drinks, whatever, like absolute garbage. And then somehow it relates to money and we follow them because they have a big following, not because they're market geniuses. And what's really bothering me is some of those people are getting ranked now in these kind of rankings of analysts as analysts. And I know for a fact they're not. I know for a fact they're a salesman, and so be careful here. I think it's important when we're talking about this stuff and we're you know focusing on individual shares. If you're not going to be in the space of buying an index or buying a unit trust that buys shares, if you're taking the decision to buy shares for yourself, well done. I'm not discouraging you. What I'm saying is choose your sources of information carefully.
Yeah, I guess you know it's obviously very kind what you're saying about what I've done. I was, yeah, imposter syndrome is probably my middle name when I'm not busy standing on my cat's tail. But I think the point here is that there's a difference between marketing pros and markets pros, if that makes sense. And you've got to be careful to distinguish between the two. And I think, look, it's a hell of a skill to build a really big following, to know how to write stuff in a way that gets the retweets and gets the attention. You know, it's a skill in and of itself, but it definitely doesn't make you a good investor necessarily. And it also doesn't mean that the people following actually have the firepower or, for that matter, the willingness to actually put their money behind a particular idea. You know, often it's a bit of a misleading number, you know, how many Twitter followers or how many Facebook followers or how many followers on LinkedIn. That means nothing. It all depends on how much, you know, actually the investment firepower is in that audience and what they're willing to do with it at the end of the day. That's what really counts. I think one of the proudest moments on my journey was in Ghostmail one morning. It was an orphanage near my house where their charity shop had been broken into. It was on Freedom Day. I mean, seriously, most South African story ever. And I think I mentioned it in Ghostmail that morning and just asked, listen, like I never ask people to pay for Ghostmail. It's been free since I launched. It will always be free. You know, if you've ever wanted to pay me for something, rather do this. I think we raised 80,000 rand by like 8:30 a.m. that morning, which was amazing. You know, that was just so cool. And I think it was a reminder of, you know, there's a lot of people reading Ghostmail who are professional investors all the way down to students who are taking things very seriously. And goodness knows, I don't have all the answers. And I definitely don't want this podcast to sound like I'm hyping myself up because that's the last thing we're doing here. But I guess you're right, is you've got to be careful. Like, why does someone have a following? Is it because they make jokes, because they are controversial, or is it because they are consistent in their view? And that's the other point, I think. You know, it's hard to be consistent. It really is. It's easy to follow the next hype stock. You know, oh, suddenly this week I'm in, you know, a huge fan of luxury goods because I was a genius and I bought it 20% ago and look at me. No one ever proves these claims. You know, I'm very happy to take the losses on the chin. You know, I lost a lot of money in transaction capital, a lot. You know, and it is what it is. I didn't sell because I didn't want to take the tax knock. I wanted to hang on for the 3-year ruling and only pay CGT on it. And I was a few months short. Big, big lesson learned. When something is clearly overpriced, SARS is not in your decision-making tree. You know, sell the thing because it's overpriced. Buy it because it's underpriced. The tax is the tax. That was the learning I took from that. you know, and I'm not shy to say it. And there's other examples. There's been many mistakes. Alibaba was another one. You know, no one in the market has ever gotten it 100% right. It is impossible. It is absolutely impossible.
And I think, you know, some of the all-time great investors who have very public track records, you can go back kind of, you know, over 100 years to a guy called Sir John Templeton. And he bragged about his success rate at being at 51%. And you know, it wasn't about 51% of his capital was growing while 49% of his capital was shrinking. It was 51% of his investment decisions were right, 49% of his decisions were wrong. The 51% more than paid for really good success. And being wrong is an absolute reality in the investment world. You know, I think just understanding that is key. And people who promote themselves as permanently successful. Look at I called this on social media 2 weeks ago. But you probably also called five other things that you've gone quiet about, or you just deleted them that were horribly wrong. And I think for
absolutely.
Me, I don't want the bragging. You know, what you want from social media are people that are going to educate you, people that are going to help you make proper decisions that you make. And that's the point here, is it's about teaching people to kind of filter the good from the bad, both the good investments from the bad, and also a process of thinking. You can't outsource your entire financial planning to, you know, to people on a podcast and hope that that's going to work well for you. You are in charge. You run your money. You know, our job is to kind of help you and inform you and help you make better decisions. But that's it. You know, if we get it wrong, we might be losing money for ourselves. But if you get it wrong, you know, you might not get to retirement or financial freedom. That those are big things. Don't be outsourcing that to a social media influencer, please. I'm sound frustrated and I shouldn't be, but it feels to me like something we should take really seriously. We should put a health warning on these things. You know, put a health warning on cigarettes. Why are we not putting it on social media influencers who start, you know, expanding on financial stuff? It's crazy to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. So a couple of points. One on the win rate. So there was a fantastic thread doing the rounds on Twitter at one point about the win rates of top tennis players. Or actually, it was an article I read. A friend of mine wrote it, I think from Alan Gray, now that I think about it. A friend I know from my days playing tennis, so it makes sense. And it was all about the win rate of these pros and how even the Roger Federers of this world, etc., you know, their win rate is only slightly better than half, really. But the point is they won the match points all the time. So on trading or on investing, you know, what the win rate loss rate is not telling you is the size of the position. And that, of course, is key. You know, big winners, small losers, et cetera, depending on your investment philosophy, your trading style, et cetera. You know, those are key metrics. So yeah, it's very much about just being right more than you're wrong. And it's that means you got to be very comfortable with being wrong a lot, actually. And a lot of people don't really realize that. And the other point I'll make is people change their minds. Professional fund managers will wake up today with a high conviction view, and next week, Tuesday, they have a different view because they read something this week that changed their mind. And if you're not able to change your mind, you are going to lose money in the markets hand over fist. I can almost guarantee it. So the problem is when people outsource their money decisions to a professional who made one TV appearance and said, hey, I like this stock. Don't make the assumption that fund manager is going to hold that stock for the rest of his life or her life. It's not going to happen. They like the stock now, today, with the information available right now. Next week, Tuesday, they might not like the stock anymore, but guess what? They're not coming back on TV to tell you that. So what we do in Magic Markets Premium, for example, is we give technical trading ranges and a fundamental view. So the fundamental gives you an idea of where we think this thing is going directionally over a sort of medium term. And the technicals give you entry and exit points. You know, and that's it. We don't go back 3 weeks later and say, hey, guys, we covered Crocs. You know, guess what? It hit its target. Because now that's starting to sound like we're holding your hand through the process and giving advice, which we're not. What we're doing is we're sharing our research process and the way we would behave with the information we have. Obviously, we do recap shows every sort of 6-7 months on a stock to see how it actually went. But that's what people need to understand is the online world of financial analysis is incredibly powerful. It's amazing. It's a gift what we have access to these days, more than ever before in history. But just use it responsibly and just understand that person giving a view has zero obligation to phone you next Tuesday and tell you their mind has changed. It's why I've 100% stopped giving any kind of stock ideas to friends, because the problem is sometimes you do and then you forget that you've given someone an idea. Now they assume there's almost this like tacit understanding, oh, you know, if he changes his mind, he'll phone me. It's not because I don't want to. It's just I can't possibly remember with everything else going on with my life, you know? And so now I've stopped doing that completely. Even just like chatter around the braai or It's a bit like a comedian. They're not actually funny if you meet them outside of work often. They're actually just very normal people. They're not working. They take the mask off. You know, when they're on stage, they're on stage. When they're off stage, they're off it. And I've started to sort of take that approach.
And I think it's an important point around advice. I mean, you know, free advice is often the most expensive advice you can get. And asking a expert on shares or on markets or on economies outside of their job when maybe they've had a beer or two or they've had a couple of glasses of wine and they're relaxed and they're, you know, they're giving you an answer because you asked them a question. And they might have applied 5 seconds of thought to it. And now you go off and you use that and then you hold them to account, you know, 1 or 5 years later, because whatever they said after a few beers or a few glasses of wine, after 5 seconds of thought is now gospel and it's gone wrong. Understand, free advice is the most expensive advice you can get. I think taking responsibility for your money is to me what it's all about. I'm not saying you need to become an expert on every aspect of money, but surely do the homework, do the research, and filter the information correctly. And it can't be based on following; it needs to be based on quality of information. And people who tell you the bad as well as the good, I think, are really important. So people, you know, fund managers and market research people who talk about their losses as much as they talk about their gains, for me, it's building credibility, because they're telling you the true story. People who only promote how amazing they are and how amazing their picks are, I know it's nonsense. I know it's garbage. They're hiding a whole other story that they're not telling you, or in fact, they probably do nothing. And they're just, you know, they're just on social media and they invest nothing and they make money from selling you a story and then they sell that to advertisers, and that's lethal. You know, I think be careful there. I think it's, you know, this money game is kind of serious, you know, and it's a long-term thing. It's not a, you know, 3-week story, and just be careful around how we consume information.
Absolutely. And you don't have to look far on Twitter to find someone who's desperately trying to show that they are smarter than you. There's an enormous amount of jealousy in that place. It's unbelievable. So there was a perfect example just the other day. I tweeted something to the effect of, you know, somewhere out there, an investor is busy swapping into dollars and buying Nvidia, you know, at sort of an all-time worst Rand dollar and an all-time high on Nvidia. And it was just before Nvidia released results. And then the thing popped another 25% overnight after releasing results. So did that tweet age badly? Obviously, there's a whole, you know, group of people just waiting to point out, oh, look how wrong you are. Like, actually, no, what I said was investor. I have no interest in momentum traders and the like. The guys do what they do. I have a lot of respect for what they do, but they are not the people who get hurt. The people who get hurt are investors who read the hype around Nvidia. And yes, maybe the thing will keep running. Maybe it will. Maybe AI is going to absolutely take over everything we do and Nvidia is all that will be left. But I've seen this movie before. I'm old enough to remember when Tesla was valued as though it was going to be the only car on the roads by 2025, and Cathie Wood thought that we would all be, you know, the Jetsons by 2027. It's not real. Sometimes it works. On average, it won't work. So if you're doing the sort of win rate, loss rate, if you're going to buy everything at all-time highs in the hope that it just keeps running, I am reasonably sure that I know where your win rate is going to be, and it's not going to be on the correct side of 50%. I don't even think it will be on the correct side of 20% or 30%. So at the end of the day, I've had to learn, you know, you need a very thick skin, as I think you've also learned, Warren, on Twitter and these sort of places. There's always someone who's willing to or keen to show how much smarter they are than you. And for me, it's never been that. It's never been an intellectual contest. It's never been about being, you know, more right than the next guy or more wrong than the next guy. It's just about giving a view. And it kind of goes into this melting pot and it helps people think. And at the end of the day, Twitter as an echo chamber is incredibly dangerous. Twitter as a place to go and get a whole lot of views, many of which you don't agree with, is the most powerful tool in the world. So, you know, it's almost like a gun. You know, if you use it correctly in a time of desperate need, it can save you. But it can also ruin your life and you have to be very careful.
I made peace, Finance Ghost, a long time ago with the fact that I'm not nearly as smart as most people. So when people point out that fact to me, it just confirms that I'm at least right about one thing. So I always enjoy that, and I think also just understanding that the sources of information, to me, we should be more careful to read books around investing than kind of current you know, up to the second hype. I think, you know, understanding a process of making decisions is important. If you're going to go down this road of being an investor and choosing shares, whether you're trading, which Finance Ghost likes and I don't, or you're like the 20-year investor, which I am, and that's all I am, then understanding the philosophies behind that and developing a way of making decisions built on proper understanding, I think is really important there. And then using media, social media as a way of staying more informed, I think it's a powerful tool there. But the philosophy of how you make these decisions needs to be yours, and it needs to be based on proper theory, not what happened last night and what might happen in the next 7 minutes on some trading platform somewhere. That's just not a way to make money.
No, exactly. And I'm not sure why people assume that markets are easy. You know, you wouldn't wake up tomorrow and assume you're going to play championship rugby by next Saturday. So why do you wake up tomorrow and assume you're going to know everything about the markets because you follow, you know, trader 96784ZA on Twitter? And that's what this oak has been saying for the past 2 years. And look, he was always right because, you know, miraculously, no one ever posts about losses. I mean, there's an entire industry of people who have dedicated 10,000 hours and a lot more to getting to this place around these topics. You know, it's not easy. If it was easy, then none of these people would have jobs, right?
Yeah, if it was easy, we'd all be financially free and sitting on a beach somewhere. So Finance Ghost, we're running out of time. I think we're already over time, in fact. But I just wanted to check in with you to see. I mean, we're in a kind of a difficult time around the world, and we don't know how everything unfolds from here. But people listening to this to say, okay, come on, just give me one thing I can take out of this. Looking over the next 1, 3, maybe 5 years, are we looking at kind of economic devastation around the world? Are we looking at I think it's maybe just your views broader rather than narrower.
Yeah, got it. So it's an interesting question. So look, I personally think that equities are in for a pretty rough ride. When I read Sen's announcements, the amount of positive information at the moment is few and far between. There are very few companies that are doing well in this environment. Most are really struggling. So I think we have to recognize South Africa's challenges. There's no point in pretending that they're not there because they are there, clearly. You know, the US economy is still an absolute monster, but often the companies are priced for that. So that's something to keep in mind. I can only share what I've done recently, which is probably quite controversial, or it usually is when it comes to me, but I sold out a whole lot of US tech stocks because they've had such a gigantic run, brought the money back into rands because I do think the rand is oversold. It's being driven at the moment by a lot of sort of geopolitical stuff and, you know, government stuff. And look, don't get me wrong, it can still get worse. Of course it can get worse. But again, you have to stick to a process. And if you draw a very long-term chart of the rand, the trend is not difficult to spot, but the incredible swings are also not that difficult to spot. And if you're prepared to do stuff, you know, a little more actively like I am, then you can try and play that and see how it goes. And again, I never do it with all my money. It's a portion of see how it works, learn from it. And what I've been doing as well, which I would highly recommend that anyone looks at right now, is whatever your savings are, just get the maximum yield you can on them. Just look at the notice deposits offered by your bank. Figure out what your liquidity needs probably are and just build your own little liquidity ladder because interest rates are high at the moment. It is rewarding savers. Everyone is bleating about interest rates and it's the worst thing in the whole world. It's the worst thing in the whole world if you bought a 320i M Sport with your first salary after 30 people told you not to. Now you're going to learn a lesson. Sorry to say it, but you are now going to experience pain. That's how this life works. For those who actually did the right thing, followed the advice, built up some savings, now it's your time. It is your time to shine now. You have got proper interest rates available to you, proper yields available to you. So use them. Don't leave your money rotting in your current account or in a basic savings account with immediate notice if you don't need it. You know, have a look at the sort of interest rates available to you and maximize your yield. And there's lots of ways to do that. And right now, a sort of 9% guaranteed yield versus the JSE. If you ask me which one to choose right now, do I think the JSE is going to do 9% this year? Well, I told you what I did. I put some money into a savings account, didn't I?
And that's as current as you can get from my perspective, always, to know that when the news is bleak and the news flow is bleak now, and it's bleak everywhere, it also tells me that that people often are overpricing the bad news and underpricing the good news. So I have no idea what's going to happen over a year. I'm not brave enough to make that forecast, but I think over 20 years there are probably some great bargains we can have now, we can own now, and certainly don't be afraid to be a holder of quality investments. And if you've got the capital and you've got your cash sorted out, don't be afraid to be a buyer of quality investments, but do it slowly and do it incrementally. Don't take big swings with your entire financial future with one call, just because I'm saying I think there's good 20-year investment decisions. You can phase your money into markets and be patient and above everything, kind of try and be rational, try and be sensible, and don't be swayed by emotions, good or bad. I think that's the point, is at the moment it's probably overhyped on the bad, and it's understandable. We're living in very tricky times now, but this too shall pass, and we need to be on the other side of this as investors, not as manic depressives.
Absolutely. And obviously long-term equity exposure is critical for anyone, anyone you speak to. I mean, Warren, you're the sort of financial expert here, actually, when it comes to wealth creation. I just understand how companies make money and what that means for their share price. At least I like to think so. So, long-term equity exposure is critical, obviously. So it's really just a tactical thing. If you just look at your portfolio, the good old balanced fund is a share of fixed income and equities, right? At the end of the day. So when I'm busy putting money into a 9% savings account, that's me building my own little balanced portfolio right now. It's a bit more defensive. I'm taking a year of yield. Rest assured, when things look better, the money's going back in the market. I actively manage my money. So it's about quick singles sometimes. When you're facing the fastest bowler in the world, if you try and hit a six, it might end very badly. If you take some quick singles and build up your innings and get to a point where you look back 50 overs later and you've put, 300 on the board, that is investing. And that is, I think, the key thing, is understanding the difference between tactics and strategy, short-term and long-term. For those who want to be more active, for those who don't want to be more active, it's all very daunting. It's cool to learn about it, but you certainly don't have to do that.
That is The Finance Ghost. We are finished. We've covered investing, cricket, rugby, social media, and how not to stand on your cat.
Yes, exactly.
I appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Finance Ghost.
Thank you, Warren. I really enjoyed it.
Brought to you by Prescient Investment Management. Informed by science, guided by insight. Prescient Investment Management is an authorized FSP.